Hey guys, today I'm talking about how to shift your perfectionistic tendencies. Can you relate to this? We're going to dive into how to do this through reparenting ourselves and reframing what it means to make mistakes. The truth is, when we can do this for ourselves, we give our kids permission to do this too. So if you're a perfectionist or a recovering perfectionist and your child is also struggling with this, today's episode is for you. You're listening to the Reframing Neurodiversity Podcast, and I'm your host, Melissa Jackson. I help women with ADHD get to the root of their symptoms so they can begin healing and passing a new way down to their kids. I believe that by supporting women, we support our kids too. Let's talk about it. Welcome back. I'm so happy to be here with you today. I want to talk to you guys about perfectionism and how this impacts us as women with ADHD, and also how we begin to shift this tendency through reframing failure and mistakes. Okay, so let's get into it, because I think so often we develop these perfectionistic tendencies as a coping mechanism to stay safe, right? As a way of getting approval from our parents, from our teachers, of being liked by others. And it's sort of this barrier we can keep between our true selves and the outside world as this facade of perfection, which makes us feel like we're good enough, we're doing enough. This can look like overgiving oftentimes. This can look like needing to check all the boxes and go through the motions to do all the things in the right way while being completely disconnected from ourselves and sometimes from the people we love and our kids. And so getting to the root of why we do this and then how we begin to shift is what I really want to talk about today. So this really stems from the need to feel safe, right? And as kids, I talk about this a lot. Feeling safe meant being accepted and loved by the adults in our lives, and oftentimes being who we really were and being difficult, being messy, maybe having big feelings, making mistakes, disappointing people and not doing it the way that maybe our parents wanted us to or other adults we respected in our lives wanted us to, meant rejection, meant abandonment, meant that we felt a threat on a nervous system level to our safety in our bodies. And so unconsciously, we start to adapt and take on these masks, these facades, these ways of moving through the world that please other people, right? So this people-pleasing and perfectionism really like bleed into one another. And today, just teasing apart the perfectionist piece, I want to support you in how we get to shifting this, because so often it can feel literally like danger in our bodies to make mistakes, to disappoint people, to say the thing we really want to say when we know on the other end the person doesn't want to hear it, right? To say no to the things we don't want to do and to receive maybe the rejection, the lack of a future invitation, maybe even the loss of a relationship when we show up as ourselves. And so finding the safety in our bodies to do that is no easy task. It's a process, right? So I want to say that out of the gate, like just being super gentle with ourselves and having so much self-compassion and love and curiosity for these parts of ourselves that are wanting to go down the path of needing to be perfect is at the root. Like we have to have this foundation of safety and trust within ourselves and start to shift the narrative, the way we speak to ourselves in these moments, and become that loving voice that we needed as kids in our own bodies. And it's so essential, you guys, because what happens is if we don't get really aware, self-aware of the voice in our own head, of what's driving these behaviors, and start to reparent and heal from the root, we pass these things down to our kids. And then we can wonder, like, why is my child a perfectionist? Why does my child break down crying if they get something wrong or they don't do it right or feel this need to be perfect? And we have to take a hard look in the mirror, because the truth is it starts with us. Like we always want to fix the kid or get the kid into counseling or therapy or put this Band-Aid on a child's symptom. And it 100%, I'm just going to say it, starts with the adults in their lives. Like it starts with the parents. It starts with the teachers. It starts with the caregivers. We are the environment for these kids to thrive. We are the environment for these kids to feel safe, to be themselves, to be messy, to have failures, and to receive that unconditional love and connection from us. And so in order to give that to our kids, we have to give it to ourselves. So if our love for ourselves is conditional, we only love ourselves if we're doing everything quote unquote perfect. Our house is perfectly clean. We've cooked the perfect dinners. We've signed up for all the activities. Our kids are, you know, getting A's or whatever the thing is for you. You know, it takes a different face for everybody, but you know your ways in which you've got to be doing it quote unquote right is the only way you love and accept yourself. That's going to trickle down to your kids. And so it's so essential that we flip the mirror and look at ourselves and realize, where am I doing that to myself in my life? You know, is it I have to be this certain weight or look this certain way, or I have to have this certain job or making this amount of money, or my kids need to be doing this activity or that activity or performing this certain way in school or having these certain friends or whatever the external stuff is for us? You know, it's really taking a look at it and asking ourselves, first of all, why? What is that making it mean about ourselves? What wound is that hitting on that we need to achieve these things externally in order to love ourselves? And then it's the opportunity to do it differently, right? It's like the fork in the road to go down that path that our brain, that neural pathway has been paved and we've gone down a million times, or to pause with self-awareness and choose a new thought, a new way, which is like going to the gym for the first time. It's building a muscle. It's building these pathways in our brains to think different thoughts. And so it's these opportunities, once we start to get curious with what's going on in our own minds and our own behaviors, with compassion, without judgment, and then deliberately choosing a new thought to show up for ourselves in a new way, to love ourselves even when we're quote unquote making mistakes or failures or things on the outside don't look the way we think they should. And so the other crazy part of this that I think is really helpful when we reframe what it means to make mistakes and what it means to fail is that there's really no such thing as failure, you guys. Like, failures and mistakes are part of the process. That's by design. That's how we learn. That's how we grow. And so it's like when we can start to look at it less about we need to achieve this thing in this certain way in order to be good enough, and we start to look at the failures, the bumps in the roads, the challenges, the things that are tougher as opportunities to learn a lesson, opportunities to dig deeper about something within ourselves that needs to be healed, you know, opportunities to maybe switch lanes, you know, go a different direction. I think we can get so fixated on we started down this one path, and if we change our mind and it doesn't feel good, like quitting is a failure. And I was just having this chat with my kids the other night at dinner about reframing that. Like, you can start something and think it feels good for you. And a lot of times, you know, especially this is the way I work for sure, is like, I don't know if I like something or I want to do something until I experience it. So it might sound good to me on paper, but I've got to start to experience the thing in order to know if it really feels good in my body. And then now I've gotten to a point where I can give myself permission to honor when it doesn't, to pivot and switch lanes. And that's not a bad thing. That's how it's supposed to be, right? Like, I can even think about within my career, I've done this just in the last few years, and I've really had to reparent myself through it. Starting out as an educator and then writing strength-based plans for kids in the classroom, and then shifting as I did more research in the field to wanting to help mothers and parents, and then shifting, you know, to wanting to do more speaking and writing as opposed to the plans in the classroom, but letting it unfold naturally with where my curiosity took me and what actually resonated with me and what lit me up and made me excited. That's our guiding light to know that we're on the right path, is when it feels good in our bodies. So just powering through because we said we're going to finish this program, or we were going to be this one profession, or we were going to play this one sport for like our kids, giving them permission. Like, you can try something, and if it doesn't feel good for you, you do have permission to change your mind. Like, you can do something else that does feel good. Because when we say yes to things that are no's, we then have no space for the things that are true yeses in our lives. And so saying no to one thing just opens up the opportunity to say yes to something else. But it can feel counterintuitive because we're so conditioned to quitting as failure, making mistakes as bad, you know, and it's just not true. It's like if we can really sink into that, this is a process, this journey of life is a process, and it's not to meant to always be smooth sailing. It's not meant to always, like, we know the direction and we stick on this path forever and we never switch lanes. Like, that's why we have so many people who are miserable in their lives because they've stuck to the plan and not honored and listened to their true yeses. And they're in jobs, they're in marriages, they're in friendships, you know, they're leading lives that aren't them, that they don't want to be in. And so I think it's just so important to give this permission to ourselves so that we can then give this permission to our kids. And that's how we really start to shift cycles, you guys, is when we start to shift it for ourselves, we're modeling something new for our children, which gives them permission to do it in a new way as well. Because they're going to be bombarded from society, from the education system, just from the world and culture around them for this old way. You know, that you've got to check all these boxes to be doing it right. And if you fail or make a mistake or don't know or in a space of feeling confused or uncertain or sad that you're doing something wrong. And it's like, that's not wrong. That's part of life. And the more we can lean into those things with love and acceptance and a curiosity, we get to learn from those things and we get to shift our path a little more and a little more and a little more till we're walking the one that actually feels good for us. And no one can tell us that, right? We can't ask for this from the outside world. Our parents can't tell us this. Our teachers can't tell us this. No one can tell us this. We have to be able to tune into ourselves, into our bodies, into our knowing, into what feels right, and learn to trust ourselves. But if we've been taught that it's not safe to trust ourselves, then how do we really start creating lives that are authentic and feel good? So I've really been in this process of moving from my mind into my body with all of this stuff, like understanding this stuff from an intellectual space to trying to embody it in my life. And it's been interesting because it's been coming up experientially in my life with relationships, with certain situations where I am seeing I have these opportunities to show up more authentically, to lean into my true yes, to change my mind, to show up differently for myself when I make mistakes, to actually feel my feelings. This has been a big one, you guys. I've been starting to realize like how much when I start to get like anxiety or sadness or those uncomfortable emotions that, you know, are like waves that come and go, I want to run from them. I started observing this, how I'm like, I want to distract myself. I want to call a friend and talk about it. I want to go do something else. I want to make it stop. And one thing I learned recently from Manat Perry, who I'm going to have on the podcast here in a couple of weeks, is that we have to be with the waves of emotions that come up. And that's how we actually release them from our body and we stop suppressing them. So they stop popping up and then dictating our lives in ways that aren't serving us. So the other day, I had this happen where I was flooded with some anxiety out of nowhere, and I called my friend and I'm talking it through with her, you know, co-regulating with her, which is super helpful. But what she reminded me of is she's like, Melissa, I think you need to get off the phone and just be with this feeling. And I was like, you're so right. I forget that that's what I need to do. I want to escape it because it feels so bad. But what I've learned is it literally only takes 90 seconds to stop and feel into the sensation, like, where is this in my body? For me, it was in my chest really heavily. And to breathe and to just notice and to even ask myself, how does this feel? What shape is this? What color is this? Is it moving when I put my attention on it? Just breathing and actually like really feeling into the feeling of anxiety, because what keeps it perpetuating is the like trying to get it to go away, right? So I was doing the opposite. Instead of going away from it, I was going towards it and just being with it. And I think it was less than 90 seconds. This intense anxiety that hit me was just gone. And I called my friend back and I was like, oh my gosh, I forget. You know, I know these things with my head, but sometimes when it pops up in real time in our lives, it's like all that head knowledge goes out the window and we go back to the old pathway, right? That neural pathway that I've had for 46 years, that's been like, distract yourself, run from it, you know, find ways to make this go away rather than being with it. And it's like, that's the whole thing. being with the uncomfortable feelings, if we truly allow ourselves, not with our head, not with making the stories up, but being with it with our bodies, being with the emotion on a physical somatic level, actually allows it to release rather than stuffing it. And then it goes into another part of our body and it often manifests in other ways that are harmful, even physically for us. It's a way of letting it actually discharge. And so it's just another reminder that as much as we can know this stuff with our head, it takes practice and time to embody it, to integrate it into our lives, into our experiences, especially when we're flooded, you know, because as highly sensitive people, and oftentimes we have children who are highly sensitive, when we're dysregulated, it's so hard to apply the tools. It's so much easier when we're calm and regulated to talk about these things and understand it with our minds and be like, oh, yes, this makes sense. But we're in that moment and we're flooded. Maybe our kid is having a meltdown, poking at all of our stuff. To apply the tools is so hard. So I just want to validate that for you and normalize it as well. It's like, even for me doing this work, it's hard and I need safe people in my life to remind me of, you've got the tools, you know? And so again, I'm going to drop in the show notes a link to join the community over on Substack where you'll have access to an archive of resources to practice different somatic tools to be with the dysregulation and uncomfortable feelings in your body. Even when you're not activated, it's really helpful because, like I said, when we're in the moment and we're triggered, it's hard to embody being with what we need to be with and applying the tools. We want to go to our old coping mechanisms, which makes sense because we've done it forever. That's where our brain goes. So practicing these things when we're not dysregulated and we're not triggered, and then having a list of the things that work for you, dependent on where you're at, if you're feeling shut down, frozen, if you're feeling activated and irritated and angry, if you're feeling avoidant and like you want to run and flee, you know, there's different strategies that you can apply to help you get into your body and regulate your nervous system and bring you back to that baseline of safety. But it's super helpful to know what those things are that work for you because all of our nervous systems are different and we'll have different somatic tools that are high payoffs for us. And so that's why I've created over on Substack a place where you can take a quiz, a short quiz, and determine where you're at in your nervous system. It'll give you exactly the resources that will help you where you're at in the moment that you need it. You can take it as many times as you want. It's literally three questions. So it's super easy to get access to support right away. And then I have a PDF where you can keep track of the things that work for you so that when you are in these moments like me this week where I was flooded with anxiety, I'm like, oh yeah, I know the thing that works for me. I can go sit in the sunshine and breathe and put my bare feet on the earth and feel into the sensation in my body and resource by finding something that feels like safety to me and just be with this feeling and get curious about it with love and compassion and trust and know myself that this isn't going to last forever. I think we can be fearful to feel into it because it's almost like we're afraid we're going to get stuck in it. So we're trying to avoid it and distract and push away from it because it's like, I don't want to get stuck there. And that thing feels really scary. But the irony is the avoidance is what perpetuates the feeling. It's what keeps it continuing to pop up. It's what keeps it continuing to drive our behaviors to mask, to feel like we need to people please, to feel like we need to be the perfectionist, to feel like we need to avoid or hide or not speak up or not be seen. It's the thing that brings up that chronic stomach ache or that migraine or whatever your ailment is, you know? And so it's really this shifting our perspective to see it in this new way of like, this is not a bad thing. This trigger, this emotion, this uncomfortable sensation is actually here to teach me something. Let me lean in it. Let me lean towards it rather than run from it and get curious about what's here for me. And it's amazing, you guys, how quickly it passes. It's actually the going towards it is what makes it go away quicker. And the going away from it, which is what we've probably been doing our entire lives, is what keeps it, it continues to pop up in all these weird ways because we're not actually releasing it. We're not actually discharging it from our bodies. So it's just such an opportunity for us to show up for ourselves in our lives with the uncomfortable feelings and emotions and sensations and triggers in a new way. and to reframe also when we mess up, when things don't go right, when we do yell at our kids, when we do make that mistake, when we do say the thing we wish we wouldn't said, when we do have that vulnerability hangover, you know, how are we showing up for ourselves in those moments and giving ourselves so much love and grace and compassion and equipping ourselves with the tools to do those things so that we can then model for our kids and show up for them in ways we feel good about, and also giving them permission and the tools to do these things for themselves. Like, this is how we shift the cycle. It truly starts with the adults. We have to stop focusing on the kid first and take some self-ownership over, like, the kids change when the grown-ups and their lives change. That's just how it is. Like, they're not going to change if they're still in an environment where we're dysregulated and modeling unhealthy coping mechanisms and we're people-pleasing and being perfectionists and then wondering why our children are. Like, it's just not going to change. So it starts with us. And not from a judgmental place, but from an empowered place. It's so, like, how cool is that? That we have the power within ourselves to change our entire experience and the experience of our kids and shift generational cycles for years to come. You know, they say if trauma can be passed down through generations, so can healing. And so we're in this position. If you're listening to this, you're someone who is curious. You're someone who's intuitive. You're someone who's sensitive and compassionate and wants to do better and be self-aware and show up differently for your kids. I know you are, or you wouldn't be here right now. And so pat yourself on the back for that. That is brave, hard work that most people don't want to do. And you're doing it. And you do need a little support with it, though, because it's overwhelming and it takes practice to show up in a new way for ourselves so we can show up in a new way for our kids and the people we love. So again, the easiest way to jump into this is I'll drop the link below. Head on over to Substack to get started on creating your toolkit and resources to support yourself and practice this when you are regulated, so that when you are triggered and dysregulated, you can start showing up in a new way. I'm also going to be opening up again starting in April. I'm going to take a couple one-on-one clients again. I've kind of leaned away from that for the last few months, but I've been doing a lot of personal work and continuing to hone my skills in this department of supporting women with ADHD and reparenting themselves and self-regulating and holding space for their kids when they're struggling. And I'm walking this real time with you guys and how I show up in my own life. It's like these layers of an onion, you know, in how we find safety in our bodies to be more authentic and find more and more tools and strategies that work for us to create a life that is thriving and not in survival mode. And so if you do need help with this, there's the link in the show notes. You can book a consultation with me. We can jump on a quick call and chat and see if it's a fit. But it is something that I'm opening up for just a few people starting in April, if you're interested in that. Because shifting the cycles and helping our children starts with the adults in their lives. And that means working on ourselves. Working on ourselves is the greatest gift we can give to the people we love. And when what's going on inside of us changes, the outside changes. And it's so empowering when we think about it in this way, because we have so much control over our lives and the lives that we could create and how we feel and how our kids feel. And isn't it just such a relief, you guys, to think about, like, we don't have to be perfect? And what if it's okay to make mistakes? And what if it actually felt safe in our bodies to be us and safe in our bodies to mess up? And we trusted it was all happening for us and was actually part of the process and had the tools to reframe in those moments so that we're proud of ourselves and had our own back and trusted ourselves and felt grounded in ourselves and our decisions, no matter what the outside looks like. I mean, that is just really living, in my opinion. And I have been just doing this work personally on such a deep level recently, and I'm ready to support you guys with that too. So again, if this feels like a fit, if you would love to work together, drop me a note in the consultation link below. It's just such an important topic, I feel, for us as perfectionists and recovering perfectionists to reframe how we view the ups and downs in life and to have the tools to show up for ourselves to view them in a different way. Because it's one thing to understand it from our minds, and it's another thing to feel it in our bodies. And that's the work I want to help you guys with, is how do you start to take this from understanding it intellectually to embodying it in your life? All right. Love talking to you as always. Sending you guys all so much love, and I'll see you next week. Thank you so much for joining me. If you like this podcast, please be sure to rate, subscribe, and share it with a friend who might need it. And if you're curious to discover where you're at in your nervous system right now and would like tools to support yourself in whatever state you're in so you can create more safety in your body to feel more grounded and connected with yourself and others, I've created a free quiz that allows you to discover your current state right now and receive a practice with your results for immediate support. Check out the show notes to grab it. I cannot wait to chat with you next time.